Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It's so good to be with you all here today, looking at these very important symbols. First, I wanted to really thank the Goldthwaite Ecclesia for all their efforts in putting on this gathering, all this great food that we've had. We certainly appreciate that and know the importance of these gatherings as we see the day of our Lord approaching. Luke chapter 22 says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the day and age of symbols and signs, we have the only real tangible signs that really matter: the bread and the wine. It's been said that we are far removed from the bread versus when Christ and the apostles walked the earth. We do live in a very different world than they lived in. And we see this truly in the bread we break today. Bread is very different now versus the way it used to be. And we want to look at that today. Also, we want to spend some time looking and reminding ourselves what the bread represents, what it is a symbol of, its meaning to us. But first, a story on memory or remembrance. A few weeks ago, I had the duty and honor to walk my natural younger sister down the aisle at her wedding. Our dad passed away when we were kids, and this is why I was walking her down the aisle. And I have to tell you, I was overcome with emotion, and I never saw it coming. She'd asked me months before to walk her down the aisle, and I knew why I was walking her down the aisle, but I hadn't really stopped to think about it. I hadn't prepared myself for just how taken back I would be that Dad wasn't there, that my sister had grown up without a father. And I couldn't shake that thought. All the pictures of our childhood with him that were there, the poem on the program, our relatives, I couldn't get past the sorrow of the fact that he wasn't there. He passed away when I was 13 and my sister was 11. And before my dad passed away, after we all knew that he was terminal, he took me on a drive, just me and him. It was the last conversation that we had together, just me and him. And the main thing that I remember from that conversation is that he told me that time heals all wounds. And time does heal all wounds, doesn't it? It heals because we tend to forget. I mean, why after so many years was I not able to keep my composure at my sister's wedding? Because our flesh tends to forget unless something reminds us. This is what the truth really is all about: keeping in remembrance. We are weak and leaky vessels. As we see the day of our Lord approaching, it is of the utmost importance to not forget the way of salvation that our Heavenly Father has offered us by the sacrifice of His dear Son. The bread helps us to keep in remembrance. To keep in remembrance just what the bread represents: the body of sin that we bear, that our Savior bore and overcame, so that we may be imitators of Him and hopefully walk with Him one day in that grand and glorious kingdom soon to be established here on this earth. The bread we break today, though, differs greatly from the bread back in biblical times. First off, back in Jesus' time, there seems to only have been three types of wheat, along with simple non-hybrid varieties of other grains like barley, millet, and rye. This is very different than the 25,000 types that exist today. Most of the grains today are created in a lab to be disease resistant and to yield a larger crop. Now, we don't know for sure if these figures are right, but even if they're off a little, the contrast is there and it's huge. Around six types in biblical times to over 25,000 today. This is very telling of where the society that we live in is at today. We know that it is not in man to direct his steps. And left to himself, you have what we have today: a society continuing to focus on pleasing itself or inventing thousands of distractions that takes man away from getting closer to his Maker. We do not need to be a scientist to know that the 25,000th strain of wheat is very different than the first. Brothers and sisters, we know that the fact that society pleases itself rather than God dates back to the beginning of our dispensation. Nothing is new with that. We know that as much as this world changes, it stays the same in this sense. We are living in times similar to Noah, where the world is eating and drinking and giving in marriage without any reverence and fear of our Heavenly Father. The danger that we face is just how many ways there are to get carried away by the flood of ideas created by man that is not pleasing to our Father in heaven. This lesson is taken from the fact that there are so many more types of wheat that exist today. The Bible says that there will be a falling away before Christ returns, and we are certainly there. Next, we can see the difference that exists with how bread was made back in biblical times versus today. Back in biblical times, they didn't have the high-tech machinery that we have today. Flour was a lot more coarse, and it was ground by hand. Everything, obviously, was done by hand. There had to be a fire made, and the bread was baked over hot coals. This is much different than the oven that that's used today. Most people today cannot even tell you how bread is made. And I know this because before I wrote this talk, I couldn't tell you how bread was made. We go to the grocery store and buy our bread in bags, much different than back in biblical times, where the majority of people knew the process. Bread was more of the center of the meal back in biblical times, much different than the sideshow that it is today. The Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." The manna in the wilderness, Jesus' miracle with a few loaves, Ezekiel's sorrowful bread. There are many examples of bread in the Bible. The people were familiar with bread. They had to be for the symbols and lessons and messages to mean what they did to them. This is very far removed from where we are at today. It's taken advantage of. I cannot tell you how many loaves we do not fully get through in my house before they mold on our countertop. It certainly isn't the center of our meals. And before this talk, I had never really thought about the bread making process. But I can tell you, if I had to make it myself, I probably would think about it more. We all would. Not to pat ourselves on the back, but anything that requires effort and focus and preparation tends to resonate with us more clearly. The lesson to us is that we live in a comfortable time. A time way more comfortable than our Savior's. What we must do is realize this and not take the opportunity that we have been given for granted. Not in a self-glorifying sense of look at the bread I was able to make, but partaking of it in a lowly, humble, God-fearing way, knowing from His efforts are we able to partake of it. But to make sure that we take every opportunity that we can to share it with others, so that it doesn't go bad on our kitchen counters. Which brings me to the final point of difference in bread made back in biblical times and today. The title of this talk is, "This is My Body." Bread, we know, represents flesh. And bread today looks a lot different than it did back in biblical times. It quite frankly looks a lot nicer. It's a lot more uniform, less lumpy. Some may say it looks fresher, cleaner. It may even look like it tastes better. What a clear picture of where we're at today with this world. The world has a false view of the flesh, and error with this view is at an all-time high. The flesh is flaunted instead of hid. With tattoos and body piercings so readily accepted and praised, it shows you just how far away the world has gotten from the realization of what our flesh really represents. And we know this to be sin. The more skin someone shows, the more attention they get. Health, food, and fitness industries are making more money now than they ever have, as this world focuses on the outward appearance instead of the inward appearance. Is this not what we see in the difference in bread now versus then? A bread that is made today looks a lot better, but is it weaker inside? A bread from grains made in a lab so that it will go farther, so that more of it is made and still less is consumed per person when you look at other foods, the percentage of other foods consumed. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the last days, about men being lovers of themselves, boastful, proud, unthankful, unholy, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This, brothers and sisters, is the comparison I'm trying to draw. We are living in the last days where the world is as evil as it has ever been. We see the parallels in the bread we break versus the bread our forefathers broke. So we talked about the differences from bread made then and now in light of the danger we face today of how easy it is to receive the grace of God in vain. Let's look at the symbol a little closer as to what it represents. We read John 6 before this talk. What a beautiful chapter pertaining to this subject. Jesus had fed the multitude with a few loaves, showing that with God all things are possible. He then takes the same symbol of bread and reminds them of the manna in the wilderness, how God provided just enough bread to sustain them. And then he draws the parallel that is so meaningful and full of purpose, bringing all of the scriptures together by telling them that he is the true manna from heaven to bring salvation to all of us. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Brothers and sisters, do we focus on this as we partake of the emblems? Brother Gilcott describes bread very well in his exhortation entitled "The Purpose of the Law." He says, "Bread is the symbol of strength, both natural and spiritual. Bread is also the symbol of the body of Christ. Many individual grains of seed sown in the act of baptism, springing up to newness of life, gathered in the Lord's harvest, threshed to remove the chaff, ground in the mill to a smooth, fine consistency in which each seed merges with countless others to form one body. Bread, again, is that one individual body which is offered for us, the bread which came down from heaven, the purpose manifested in flesh. Flour is a certain step in the process of making bread. So we discover that the sacrificial ordinances include a chronological presentation of the truth, an unfolding of the purpose. The seed, the sheaf, the flour, the bacon bread. Bread, again, is the fruit of labor. In the joint partaking of it, it is fellowship and covenant relation. It is doctrine. It is protection and security. It is the final basic necessities of life. It is the ministration of charity. That's the end of that excerpt from his talk. But he goes on later in this same talk with the central reason behind the bread we break, and that's sacrifice. He says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And by Jesus, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." How would we define sacrifice? We would be inclined to say that it is the unpleasant process of having to give up something that we would like to keep. But this is a petty, self-centered definition. Sacrifice is a very satisfying process if it is properly comprehended. The dictionary defines sacrifice as the destruction or surrender of anything for the sake of something else, giving up of some desirable thing in behalf of a higher object. The whole secret is in the purpose. Of Jesus we are told, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. That was sacrifice. Giving up some desirable thing in behalf of a higher object. Even the bringing of many sons to glory. Paul expresses the basic principle of sacrifice when he says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Life inevitably consists of a continuous series of sacrifices, a long process of choices. Some truly endeavor to train themselves in sacrificing the lower for the higher, sincerely seeking the better way. These who appear to sacrifice much actually sacrifice least. Some sacrifice the better way to the worse, the future to the present. These are the great majority. Some, reluctant to sacrifice anything, attempt to hold both. Theirs is the most pitiful case. They, in the end, find they have sacrificed most. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Rather, an extreme action, selling all that he had, almost full-heartedly, we would think. Only one thing would justify it, the incomparable value of the pearl. What does this mean translated into our own lives? It means the gradual rounding up and sacrificing of all the non-essential items in our life, steadily working upward, making sure that in each case we are consciously taking advantage of a corresponding spiritual compensation in return. Giving up a desirable thing for the sake of something better. That's the end to Brother Gokot's excerpt. Brothers and sisters, we must keep in remembrance our Savior's broken body on the cross. As we see the purpose of Christ seen in the Scriptures, of fulfilling the law and of carrying out His Father's will and providing us a way of salvation. We see in our third reading for today that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. This is our standard, pursuing perfection, knowing that we will fail. We know that our Savior knows what we are going through. He was tempted in all points that we are. As I mentioned at the beginning, time heals all things, and we start to forget. Brothers and sisters, we must not forget and be far removed from the bread we break. Knowing that the world has and will decline morally and get farther away from our Father in heaven. Let us discern the time and know that our Savior's return is at the door. Let us focus on overcoming this body of sin we bear for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters, but most especially to please our Father in heaven. Thank you.